listening to tonight's show. You can connect to Behind the Mic Radio on Twitter at BT Mic Radio and on Facebook at Behind the Mic Radio. Check out our website at BehindTheMicRadio.com. Also, follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio, where you can stay up to date on all upcoming shows. Every episode is available for immediate download upon the conclusion of each broadcast and, as always, on iTunes. Thank you for joining us.
Well, hello and welcome to Behind the Mic Radio. It is Friday night, and I hope that you've had a great week and that you're ready to ease into your weekend and just really do some fun things. I know I'm always looking for Friday. Even on Monday, I'm like, is it Friday yet? So we're here. We made it to the end of another week, and I want to welcome you all here tonight, and thank you for joining us. Tonight, we have a pre-recorded interview, and our guest, you're going to be very, very excited. We had the pleasure of interviewing her on Monday. She was doing a press junket for her movie that is going to world premiere tomorrow night. And so we're just so, so elated that we got the opportunity to speak with her very briefly on Monday. So unfortunately, you know, because she had back-to-back interviews, you know, all across the country pretty much promoting this movie on radio stations, and she's been on all the major networks this week, just really, really working the circuit. And she just had no time, you know, available to do a call-in or a, you know, live interview. But we were excited nonetheless to get her, and so we're very, very thrilled. We've been working on this for the past several months, so we're quite surprised when we got the call last Friday to say, hey. Very, very excited to bring her to you tonight. And without further ado, we'll be playing for you now our interview with Candace Cameron Buehr. Our special guest is an actress, producer, New York Times bestselling author, and inspirational speaker who is both outspoken and passionate about her family and faith. Known to millions worldwide from her role as DJ Tanner on the iconic family sitcom Full House, she continues to flourish in the entertainment industry as a role model to women of all ages. She stars in the world premiere of the upcoming television movie Finding Normal, which airs this Saturday, May 18th, on GMC-TV. We are honored to welcome Candace Cameron Buehr. Hello and welcome to you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for being with us. I want to begin by talking a little bit about your early fame. You are known to millions worldwide for your role as DJ Tanner on the hit television series Full House. And talk a little bit about how that role came about and what the experience was like for you, because you were, you know, you were a kid actor at that time.
I was. You know, we kind of fell into acting. My family was not a show business family. But so I started acting at age 5 and auditioned for the part at age 10 for DJ Tanner and got the part. And, you know, just so thankful, so blessed to have been on such a great show. And I have loved working. I love being an actress. And, I mean, that's why I'm still doing it today. But I had a really great experience growing up in the industry, mostly because my parents were very grounded and put the priority and the focus on our family and not us as child actors. So even though I was working an honest, successful show, and even my brother was too, we kind of had a very normal life. Just because it wasn't, once we got home, it wasn't about work. You know, it was about family. And that was it. So thankful to be doing what I love to be doing.
And that, you know, it was such a great show. I know that, you know, I enjoyed it. My children have come to enjoy it. And, you know, even the reruns now, we're all still glued to the television set. It's just such a, you know, I think it's well said, but it is an iconic show that just, is timeless, and what you guys did as a crew and a cast really put together an amazing show that I think the lessons from that show just live on, because, you know, that's what's just so timeless about it.
Exactly, it's true, and you know it's pretty safe to watch. I mean, that's why it's gone on for so many years, and it's so much fun to see people all over who grew up with the show when it was on prime time. And, you know, there's so many fans that come up to me today. And then I'll get lots of little kids that are watching the show for the very first time, and they think it's brand new. And, mm-hmm. I mean, it's adorable. It's neat that it's had the longevity that it's had.
Yeah, very much so. Now, do you and the cast continue to remain in touch or have been in touch since, you know, you were on? It was on television?
Oh, yeah. We're great friends. They're very much like a second family to me. So I'm very close to everyone. And, you know, we hang out and see each other and support each other at events and all the time. So I always show a lot of stuff on my Facebook page or my Twitter page or my website on my blog. So there's even – I was just with Bob Saget and Jody Sweetin last weekend, and I was with Lori Loughlin a couple weekends before that. So, you know, you can always go to my blog, and if you're a fan or interested, I, you know, post all that kind of crazy, silly stuff a lot. But I love sharing that part of my life with my fans.
And I know that that we all appreciate you for doing that as well. So thank you very much for that. One thing I wanted to ask you, though, because you grew up in an era where, you know, television, I think, was still pretty good, and it's changed so much as time has gone on, as you know. And you were very fortunate, as you said, and blessed to work on a show that was just great, wholesome family entertainment. And you know, the child stars of that era tended to be more grounded than, say, compared to child stars of today. And what do you think that the difference is between then and now in terms of, you know, why some child stars have kind of gone down different paths, so to speak, and it's been harder for them to be grounded and have normal lives?
Well, of course we don't know. There's still child stars that are on television now, but they're still kids, and they're going through it. So we don't know what the outcome of all of them are. But, you know, there's always... I think it has to do with the people that are around you, your support system, your parents, agents, managers, and what they're feeding you, basically, what they're pouring into you and talking to you about behind the scenes and what their priorities are. Also, social media today is making it much tougher for kids that are in the industry because everything is spotlighted. You know, we didn't have Twitter and Facebook and even paparazzi and shows like TMZ that are documenting everything that we were doing at the time, and I'm very grateful for that. Although I'm someone who now, I love social networking and I'm very involved, but I'm an adult, so I can, you know, understand its ramifications if it's not used properly. But that puts a whole new pressure on kids and teens that are in the industry today. So if you don't have a good support system around you, you can fall pretty hard and pretty fast.
Yeah, so very true. Now, you know, many, as you know, well, first of all, I want to say happy Mother's Day to you. I know it's belated, but, you know, many who follow you are, you know, you're happily married and you're a mom of three kids, and I'm a mom of three myself. Mine are much older than yours, though.
I hope you had
a wonderful day yesterday. Oh, thank you, thank you. Well, one thing I was curious about, have your children actually seen Full House? And if so, what do they think of their mom as DJ Tanner?
Oh, they've definitely seen Full House. And my 15-year-old daughter loves the show. She just kind of started watching it again this year. And she's like, Mom, this is really funny. And and I, you know, it's hysterical that all the 80s and 90s style are clothing is back in style today.
Yeah.
So there are so many DJ Tanner references on that alone. So my daughter doesn't think I'm quite as dorky as she used to because her friends, you know, wanted to dress like I used to dress.
it's just hilarious, you know, because she's still too young yet to realize that style does recycle about every 20 years. And, you know, and it's interesting how I've had to tell my children, you know, who are, you know, 22 and 18 and 15, and, oh, well, that was in style back then, you know, and they're like, really? And to them it's new, but to me it's like, oh, I'm kind of chuckling to myself when my youngest daughter will go pick out something, and it's like, you do not realize how retro-modern this is.
So, yeah, you know. I know.
So, well, have any of your children shown interest in following in your footsteps?
Well, my daughter, she might. You know, she's done a handful of commercials and all that stuff when she was younger. She's in high school now, and she realized that she loves just being around her friends and being in musical theater more than auditioning right now for television shows and stuff like that. But, you know, when she gets older, she might change her mind. My boys, though, they're very into sports. They play hockey like their dad. They're on travel hockey teams. So they have no interest in the entertainment industry. You know, either way, whatever our kids' passions are to pursue, we want to just support them. So I have no I wouldn't fight it at all if my kids want to be in the entertainment industry, just because I love it, and I would help them just navigate it so they would be protected and hopefully successful if that's what they wanted to pursue.
Oh, that's great. You know, it is well known how passionate you are about your family and your faith, which is incredibly admirable, you know, for anyone, but especially for someone like yourself who has chosen the entertainment business as their profession. And, you know, it can be so cutthroat. And how have you handled this along the way, you know, from making the choices of what projects you were going to pursue to, you know, just handling all sometimes the pressure, I imagine, that comes with being in this business?
Yeah, you know, being a Christian, sometimes I'll step back and go, why am I in this crazy industry? Because it's it's not the easiest one to be in. But, you know, I think anyone who is strong in their faith, no matter what they do, there's always pressure somewhere. It's not just the entertainment industry. But,
yeah.
You know, I'm passionate about what I do, and I love it. And, you know, no matter what I was doing, if I wasn't an actress, my faith, you know, carries out in everything that I do as a woman, as a wife, as a mom, in all of my choices. So, you know, it wouldn't be any different if I were in a different field of work, that those kinds of choices and decisions would play out in my life. And so, you know, it does make it a little bit more challenging in the projects that I choose. My choices are much more limited, but that's by my own choice, by the boundaries that I've placed on myself as to what I will and won't do. And so it you know, in that sense, it's not a difficult thing since I'm making those choices myself. But
yeah.
As a woman who loves working and loves entertaining people, you know, it is harder to say no or to a lot of things and miss out on certain opportunities that could be great in one aspect but might not be in another or might compromise my own moral values. And so, you know, I don't think it's anything that everyone in the world doesn't face and challenge. It's just different circumstances.
Yeah, well, I must tell you, you and your brother, Kurt, are to be applauded and commended for how you have taken such a passionate and inspiring stance on your faith. And, you know, it's reflected in your work and your lives and, you know, and the fact that you both have families, you're committed to your marriages. I mean, that speaks so many volumes to so many people. It's so inspiring, especially when you have a lot of that doesn't seem to exist in this industry in particular. And, you know, it's kind of across the board, but, you know, because this industry is more public and focused and paparazzi focused, it's, you know, people know more about it. And it's so, so reassuring and refreshing and inspiring, you know, to be able to see that there are people out there who have put their faith first. And that, you know, everything else hinges and centers around that faith. You know, that's, the faith is what grounds
yeah.
you, and that's just so, so enlightening and so, so inspiring to so many people, and that's why so many people love you guys, because of what you believe in, and you're true to yourself, and you don't compromise who you are or your faith for the sake of a role, which I think is awesome.
Thank you.
Thankful that you guys are that way. Now, given you both have crazy work schedules, do you guys ever get to see each other? Do you see each other often?
You mean me? Me
you and Kurt, yes.
my brother. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know what? We not as much as I would love to. And we don't live terribly far from each other. But yeah, between my three kids and his six kids, and then his travel schedule, because he's on a tour for marriage conferences that he puts on, and between my filming schedule, it's pretty nuts that the amount of times that we see each other within a year is silly, considering, you know, we live 45 minutes from one another. But it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard with any family once you have kids, because the schedules get crazy. And then even with sports and with school, and then if you add any kind of travel into the mix, like, forget about it.
Yeah. I can appreciate that all too well, you know. And it feels like sometimes, even though you think, well, the kids are spaced far apart in age, you just still, you know, you feel like sometimes you're in all kinds of directions. It's just incredible, you know, how stretched thin you become, and yet you still you manage to somehow retain that resilience. I don't know how it happens. It must be a special mom thing. I don't know.
I think so.
We're
mom,
not, you know.
Power.
That's right. So, well, one thing I'm curious about, could we, you know, could the fans ever expect to see you and Kurt in a project at some point, starring both of you, or doing something like a conference together, or just something that, you know, kind of expounds on your faith?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have anything that's planned right now, but it's something that we're both always open to, and if the right project comes along or the right type of conference to do together, I mean, we would love to do that. And so I wouldn't rule it out for some point in the future. I'm sure we will.
Yeah. Well, we would, as fans, and a fan of you guys for a long time, I think I speak for many when I say we would love for that to happen. So hopefully we'll keep our fingers crossed that that will, and do a lot of praying about it as well. So now I want to talk a little bit about your newest project, because you are starring in the world premiere of Finding Normal on DMC TV, which airs this coming Saturday, May 18th. So if you can, tell us a little bit about what this movie is all about.
Yeah, well, I play Dr. Lisa Leland, and she is on her way. She's driving from L.A. to the Hamptons to go meet up with her boyfriend, and, you know, she just doesn't have the best bedside manner. She's not, she's just, I think, very self-involved, self-focused. So she gets stuck, though, in this little tiny town on her trip, and she has a fine to pay for some speeding tickets that she's not able to, and because of that, she gets sentenced to 3 days of community service in this town, and in order to pay off her debt. And through the time that she's there, she really starts to see life from a different perspective, because she's, you know, a fast-paced city girl, and she gets thrown into a little southern town with no Wi-Fi, no lattes, no credit cards. And so it gets her thinking, you know, even though she's had her whole life mapped out for herself, she starts to realize or think about whether this is the life that God has planned for her. And and so she starts to see the difference in these people in this town that are much more faith-filled and family-focused. And so she reevaluates her life.
You know, it's interesting, because when I was reading the synopsis for this movie, I was thinking that very thing. I was thinking, you know, it really does lend itself to the fact that, you know, we can go along and we can do all the planning in life that we want, but if God has a different plan for us and a different detour, if you will, for how he wants us to go, it's going to happen, and there's no amount of, you know, pleading, begging, changing, and sometimes we have to be thrown into the most unusual circumstances, unexpected of circumstances, to be able to really see the picture, otherwise we may not always see it, we may miss it. But
absolutely.
But, you know, and the other thing that I found very interesting is that the setting for this movie takes place in the fictional town called Normal, which is, ironically, in Santa Clara, which is where I was born and raised. currently reside. And did you happen to know, I know that it was filmed in Columbia, Louisiana. And so by comparison to, say, the setting of the movie, is Columbia, Louisiana like a really small town as well? Is there a comparison there, perhaps?
Yes, it was a super small town. It just has just over 300 people that live in it. And I'm not kidding you, when we drove into this town, I was with one of the local people, and she said, you know, and here's our town. And I looked at it, and it was maybe a half a block, and I went, is this a real working town? Like people, she's like, yes, ma'am, it is. It was so small. But man, the people that lived there were so excited that we were shooting the film there. And so they rallied for us. They loved having us there. And, you know, there weren't any hotels nearby. I mean, there was like one restaurant for us to eat at. And, you know, people gave up their homes for the few weeks that we were there so that the cast and crew could stay within the town to help, you know, stay true to our schedule just because it was kind of in the middle of nowhere. So
yeah.
It was a little shocker for me, too, because I am a city girl. I'm born and raised in L.A., but sweet people.
Well, you know, as we say in the South, I can certainly tell you that that is one of those towns that, you know, if you blink, you'll miss it. You know, it's kind of one of those you pass through and you may not even realize it was a full-fledged town. And so I take it that there were no, you know, Starbucks, no lattes, places you could go get
no.
a real coffee. It was, you know, virtually non-existent. So. Yeah,
I was just going to say, I learned, I discovered what French press coffee, how great it really is, because that's what we ended up drinking, because there was no little shops to go get a latte on the way, but that was like the best, we could find the best roast and do French press every morning. So
that was probably the closest thing to gourmet that you would find, you know. And it really does, you know. I know when I've traveled to other places and you know, sometimes you don't have the comforts and the amenities of home that you're accustomed to. Like for us in the South, one of our big staples was sweet tea. And, you know, but you go outside of North Carolina and the Deep South and you start going even as far into, you know, close as Virginia, which is our neighboring state, you know, they really look at you weird when you ask for sweet tea or you ask for iced tea and everything's unsweetened, so it's just that's foreign. And then you get home and it's like, oh, I want the biggest glass of iced tea that I can find. And, you know, it's just the little things that you really take for granted. But I think when you go other places and you realize things are different or they don't, you know, people, other places don't have what you're used to, it really does make
yes.
you appreciate it all the more.
It sure does.
And I think in a sense, too, it lets us know just how spoiled we've become in terms of how accommodating we, you know, how well we have it and how blessed we are and all the things that we've been given and, you know, and that we tend to take for granted because it's always at our fingertips and we have it, you know. So I think sometimes it really pays for us to step out of our comfort zone so that we really can get a real good glimpse of, you know, what other people in other places deal with on a daily basis, which is their normal, you know. And, you know, because everyone's normal is different, you know, depending upon where you live and what your circumstances are, it's different for everyone. So,
so true.
The movie it sounds like a phenomenal movie. And, you know, and I'm really excited because, you know, here in North Carolina, one of the biggest hit television shows with the Andy Griffith Show, and it was based off of a fictional town called Mayberry, and Mayberry was the inspiration for a town in North Carolina called Mount Airy, which is probably a little bit larger than Columbia, Louisiana, but not by much.
Right.
So, you know, and it's just those small towns sometimes have the most charm and appeal to them, and so I think that this is going to be a great movie. And one of the things I was curious about, because, you know, to play a surgeon of all things in this movie, you know, which gives it a nice twist considering really the character, your character is really having to step out of her comfort zone. But did you have to do any kind of preparation, you know, for the movie? Did you have to actually, you know, do your homework on surgeons or the medical profession in order to make the character more believable? Or was it just simply a matter of stepping out of your comfort zone?
Yeah, thankfully I didn't have to do much as a surgeon. There was just a few little scenes in it, where I had to kind of handle some of the props and act like a doctor. But we had a woman that was a nurse that was on set, so she was showing me how to use everything properly. But it was pretty basic stuff, so I was okay. I was in the clear.
Well, I am so impressed with you and everything that you've accomplished, and we so enjoy you on television, on screen, no matter where you are. And so we want to thank you so much for spending a little of your time with us today, and enjoy the rest of your day, and best wishes to you for much continued success.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate it, and you have a great week, too. Thanks for the interview.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you, and take care. God bless.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Ah, what a great interview with Candace Cameron Bure, and many of you know her from Full House days when she played DJ Tanner and kind of grew up right before our eyes in our living room day in, day out, or I should say week in, week out. But she has gone on to do some phenomenal things, and her movie, Finding Normal, in which she stars in, is world premieres tomorrow evening on GMC TV. Check your local listings for times. I think it's going to be broadcast three different times tomorrow evening, so you want to be sure to check it out. It sounds like a great movie, and the plot line for it is just really, really interesting, and I know if Candace is in it, it's really going to be a great, great show. So check it out, and I certainly hope that you enjoyed that interview today. Candace is just phenomenal, and we were so very lucky and blessed to have her on our show. Very, very excited to have her aboard. So thank you again. A special thank you to her for being our special guest. And thank you to all of you for being with us and tuning in today. If you're brand new to our program, we are Behind the Mic Radio, and we would love to have you back again sometime. And coming up tomorrow on our show, we have another guest, great guest. We have D.W. Moffitt, and you may know him from Switched at Birth. He's also kind of splits the time between that and Happily Divorced. He was in Friday Night Lights, and the list just goes on and on and on and on, things that he's done and accomplished throughout his career. He's going to be here live with us at 6 p.m. Eastern, so if you are a big D.W. Moffitt fan, please tune in and call in for that. And so with that is going to wrap our show for this evening. Thank you so very much for being with us. And again, special thanks to Candace Cameron Bure for being our special guest. Take care, all. Enjoy your Friday night and your weekend. And we'll be back again tomorrow afternoon, 6 p.m. Eastern. Take care, all. Good night.
Tonight's show has been brought to you by One Taste of Main Street Cake Shop, baked from scratch, custom-made cakes and cupcakes, and you'll be hooked. Every cake is made to order with only the finest and freshest ingredients. This is no ordinary bakery. Cakes are never pre-made. Main Street Cake Shop is in demand, having provided cakes and cupcakes for numerous prestigious events, bridal fairs, and venues. Owned and operated by April Murray, she has garnered many awards for not only her exquisite cake designs, but also for their incredible taste. If you're looking for a cake for any occasion, or cupcakes in a variety of flavors, then Main Street Cake Shop is the place. Visit them on the web at mainstreetcakeshop.com.